From the Thinking Out Loud studios, it's the Thinking Out Loud podcast with Kevin and Kyle, the podcast that exists to help you navigate the culture of today from a biblical perspective
and to help you grow in your relationship with God.
God has commissioned and called you to be a light in this culture. The only way you can do that is to know the truth.
No matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter what season of life that you're in, if you truly want to find success in that season,
you are going to have to go back to the simple question of, what does God say about me in this moment?
There's no shortage of information in this culture, but there is a shortage of truth.
Welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson, and I am ecstatic to be with you guys again for another week of the show. I hope all of you guys are doing well. You know, I wanted to give a shout out. Somebody put, and we have a few there, but somebody had put a review on Apple Podcasts. It sounded like that you weren't listening to Apple Podcasts. You were listening to us through a different app, and you couldn't leave a message there, but you left a message on Apple. I just want you to know that that was encouraging to us. The things that you said there, just super encouraging. And listen, guys, if you're listening to this show and you're wondering, like, man, I love the show and I just want to do something to help the show along, one of the things that you can do is you can rate and review us. And so that really, really, really helps us, because see, here's what happens. When you rate and review us, that causes us to become higher as people search for podcasts like ours. And so when they search, yeah, we'll be one of the top people who come up. And so just, you know, and I know you guys might say, well, man, just those little things, just those little comments really, really encourage you guys. Yes. Imagine this. Okay. Imagine spending hours researching things, getting on air, and spending the time that we do on the air, and then that's it, right? You don't hear from anyone, right? It just kind of goes out in the universe. Just imagine that. So to hear from our people, it means a ton. It's just the way that we are, right? We're consumers. We consume without thinking, hey, what about the people on the other end? I mean, we do that when we buy stuff. We do that when we go to stores and different things like that. We're just consumers. You know, I think about, so every time I get a chance, when I go on social media for the people that I listen to, I really try to let them know, hey, you guys are amazing, or you've done a great job, or that show was great, stuff like that. Why? Because if I'm not intentional about it, they don't know it, and they just want to know if what they're doing is, if it's good, if it's something that really is helping. And so this, I've always said this, this podcast is for you. We spend all this time and all the research and all the recording and the dollars that we spend, all of this stuff we do because we have a heart to see you grow in your relationship with God, but also be able to navigate culture from a biblical perspective. And so we're gonna do this. We believe that this is something that God has placed in our hearts. And so we just hope that we will continue to be a blessing. So whatever you listen to us on, whether it be Apple or Google Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon, Podchaser, Stitcher, all the places, just go there. And if they have a place for you to put a review there. Rate us 5 stars. If you don't have 5 stars to rate us, well, take a nap. We love it when people love the show. So, oh man, I was just talking to Kyle, I believe it was on Sunday, and he's pumped. He's ready to get back on the show. And so he will be back first quarter of this year. And so we're excited about that. We've got some things planned there, and he's going to be talking about, again, like I said in last episode, what he's been up to and all that good stuff. And so got a lot of things planned. I really see God's hand in some of the things that are happening, and just excited about it. Thanks for tuning in again this week. We're going to jump right in, guys. We are still in our series on sanctification, the life you've always wanted. And we're going to talk about a couple of maybe two or three different aspects of sanctification today that I think is really important. It's crazy, you know, when you think about it. And I know, like, as we've been talking about this, sometimes some of the things just seems hard. It's like, I got to do that. Like, what? But we want you to understand that, listen, not everything that's good comes easy, right? Most things that are worth something or worth value, most of those type of things come through hard work. We know that. We say that to our kids. We say that as they are going to school or if they're in their career. And we say, listen, you know, don't expect somebody to hand you something on a silver platter. Don't expect everything to be perfect right away. You've got to work at it. You've got to continue to put your time in. And then eventually those things that you're wanting will manifest itself, right? And so that's the same way in our spiritual walk with Christ. A lot of times, some of these things do seem a little bit hard. They do seem a little bit difficult, but if we continue and we follow the manual, we've got a manual, right? We know the blueprint. As long as we follow that, we know that we're going to get the desired outcome. Let's go into this. Let's jump right in. Last time we talked about lose weight, and we weren't talking about the weight that I'm sitting here with right now. We're talking about the sin sometimes that are in our lives and the weights, right? We talked a little bit about that. Well, today I want to talk about sanctification resulting in good works. There are other things, too, that we're going to talk about today, but I want to jump in talking about sanctification results in good works. Now, there's a scripture that a lot of people use, and I've even heard people who are maybe not Christians or they're kind of on the fence use this scripture. It's Micah 6 and 8. It says, "He has shown you, O mortal," Micah 6 verse 8, "what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Now, you look at that scripture and you say, Kev, like that scripture, like that, it's beautiful, right? I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I've heard people say it before, quote the scripture. I've seen it on plaques. I've seen it, you know, go to Hobby Lobby. You might see it there on a plaque that you can buy. But here's the thing. It's more than just beautiful words. We break down this scripture. We have to ask ourselves, could we do this? Can I do what this scripture is saying without the process of sanctification? And I think what you guys are going to realize is there are a lot of things that you can only do through this process of sanctification. You wonder why it's super, super hard sometimes to love your neighbor, or it's super hard for you to do some of the things as a Christian. You feel like it should come easier. You're like, well, but I got saved and I thought it was going to be easier for me to do these things. Well, the only way that it becomes somewhat easier is that you allow yourself to go through this process of sanctification. And we said in the beginning that sanctification is truly this walk that you have, that you become more and more like Christ. And so let's break that scripture down, Micah 6 in verse 8. And I really want to stick on that second part of the verse where it says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And so to do justly. And I think we have to ask ourselves as Christians, do we do things justly? Are we doing things justly? To do something justly literally means to act equitable. It's to hurt no one by word or deed. Think about that. Is that like a thing? Like, is there somebody walking around right now that is doing justly? They're not hurting anybody by word or deed. See, all of these scriptures, they sound really easy when you don't really dig into exactly what the scripture is actually saying. And my whole point in quoting these scriptures and reading these scriptures to you is for you to understand that there is no way you're going to be able to walk the walk that God has designed for you to walk without this process of sanctification in your life. But it's a process that a lot of times we don't talk about as a church. We'll talk about, hey, we should love people more. We should give to the poor. We talk about we should forgive more. I mean, that's a big one. We talk about forgiveness all the time, but a lot of times we don't talk about the process of sanctification that allows us to even get there. Because you can try as much as you can to muster up as much strength in your own self as you can, but if you've not allowed the process of sanctification to work in your life, there is no way that you're going to be able to forgive people or love people the way the Bible says that love should be displayed in your life. So all of these things is to say, it is so important that you pause. And I'm saying for 2023, if you're like, hey, and I'm not a person, I don't do resolutions and all these things. I mean, if you think, and look, before I say what I'm going to say here, because it could come off the wrong way, I'm not saying that it doesn't work for some people. It does. I am not saying that it's not good for some people. Some people need that fresh start. They need a date on the calendar. But I personally are just not into it. There's nothing magic for me that happens on January 1st of any year. Nothing magic happens. If I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it when I do it. That's just me. And so it doesn't mean, again, that that's wrong. What it does mean, though, is that, and I'm all about setting goals because I believe this. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. That's the old saying. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every single time. And so we do things like one of my buddies in our small group, he came up a couple of years ago with vision boards. And it's just basically some things that we want to see happen in our lives for the year. But it's not this is better happen or it's a resolution. It's just a vision, right? The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. And I would argue that without a vision for your family, without a vision for your children, and without a vision for your spiritual life, you're going to suffer. Things are not going to go the way that you want them to go because you have to have some type of goal. And that's one of the reasons why I say if 2023, you take this year and you say, you know what? I want my life with Christ to be better than it's ever been. I promise you, if you open yourself up to this process of sanctification, and I encourage you, if this is your first episode that you're listening to, please go back to the first episode of this series, which is entitled, I believe, Sanctification, the Life You've Always Wanted, and then start systematically going through these episodes because I believe it's going to paint a really good picture for what should happen in your life. And so Micah 6:8, so to do justly, right? Then the next big thing there is to love mercy. And literally, this is to be guided in conduct to others by loving kindness, right? Think about that. How kind are we? How loving are we? How much mercy do we extend to others on a daily basis? And I'm guilty of this, guys. Sometimes I just go, I don't understand why they're not getting it. I don't understand, you know, because a lot of times we expect us out of other people, which is horrible. We should never do that. And I am very, very guilty of that. I just figure, you know, I think this way or I whatever. And I'm thinking, well, can't you see? right, to another person, but that's just simply not fair. How much mercy are we extending to the person in that cubicle next to us? How much mercy are we extending to the person who cuts us off on the freeway? This stuff's not easy. That's why you have to be intentional. Oh, man. Let's see. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So here's the thing. To walk humbly with your God. This literally is man's duty to God. It's humility and obedience. So it's walking humbly with your God. When you walk in a humble way with God, you submit to what he wants for your life. You are obedient to the things that he has for your life. And walk there, if you look in the original language, walk there is an expression that's implying to live and act. Just like how in the Old Testament, it talked about Enoch and it talked about some of the patriarchs that they walked with God, that they walked with God. They were prepared to follow God, or they were to be ready to walk with the Lord. It was this action. It was this continual thing that they did. It's not like, well, I changed and decided to walk with Christ, and it was like this one-time thing. No, no, no. They continued to walk with Christ. You know what the cool thing about this whole process is? Is God gives you what he requires. Think about that. So we're saying the scripture says, Micah 6 and verse 8, he has shown you, O mortal, that's us, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So the very thing that God requires through the process of sanctification, he gives you what he requires. He gives you the heart to be obedient. He gives you the desire to love mercy. He gives you the strength and the courage and the know-how to love people in word and in deed. I think that is so awesome, right? And when we think about good works, another scripture that comes to mind is James 1 and 27. Here's what it says. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, this is a scripture that is often used for humanitarian organizations like Compassion International or World Vision or Feed the Hungry or all the, you know, Charity Water. I mean, there's just so many different organizations out there that some of them are Christian, some of them are not, but it kind of surrounds this thing of social justice. When you hear the word social justice, what you have to understand is social justice is actually a worldly concept. It is, because social justice today gets into all kinds of things. Now, I am not saying that we shouldn't have a degree of social justice. It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we have to understand what biblical justice looks like. And what James is talking about here, James 1:27, where it says that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, here's what normally happens. When we look through this in a worldly social justice lens, we only read this part, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And then we preach a whole sermon or write a whole book on how Christians should look after widows and orphans, which is 100% correct. Okay? The issue is it's not complete. What the Bible is saying is not only should we do that, but we should also keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So sanctification causes you, and it results in good works. But the good works is not good works in the way that we think about it from a world standpoint of social justice or just good works to do good works. Just think about it. There are a lot of organizations out there who have nothing to do with God, have nothing to do with scripture, has nothing to do with spreading Christianity around the world and all of that. It has nothing to do with that at all. But it's simply doing good deeds. And doing good deeds is not the complete story of scripture. Now, there is a lot that you will do as you become a follower of Christ. When you become a follower of Christ, you're going to automatically, because the Spirit of God is in you, you're going to want to do good deeds. But that doesn't mean that those good deeds or that thought of good deeds can't be tainted by your flesh. Sometimes we want to do good deeds because it makes us feel better. A lot of people in the world, they do that because it makes them feel like that they're helping humanity and they're doing something noble in the world. But this is not that. That's not it. For a Christian, it looks like this. Religion that God our Father accepts is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep one's self from being polluted by the world. That is the key. Not only are we doing good works, but sanctification says you're going to do good works because that's what the results of sanctification is. You're going to want to do things for Christ, but you're not going to just do it in a virtue signaling kind of way. You're going to do it also with not wanting to be polluted by all of the things in the world, right? And so I think what we see right now in the church is we see a bunch of people that are taking what is, and I don't want to really get political here, guys. So I want to be very careful here, but I think this is important. We're blending what we call in culture today, social justice, which is really, it's a worldly concept. Doesn't mean that it's all wrong. It's just a worldly concept. Just like we talked about self-esteem. Self-esteem is not a biblical concept. It is a worldly concept. You need God esteem. Because if you don't have God esteem, then you're gonna forever chase self-esteem. Forever. Because you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be good enough. The only place that you're good enough is in Christ. And when you see yourself the way God sees you, you will always be good enough because He is the one who has the last say on whether you're good or not. So when we talk about social justice, we're not talking about this worldly idea of social justice. What we're saying is when you are sanctified and you become more like Christ, you want to do good deeds, but those good deeds are mixed with scripture. It is mixed with the correct theology. It is mixed with you wanting to spread the gospel around the world, not to just do good deeds. But what we have right now is this idea of social justice, and it's creeping into the church where it's about race relations in America. Right? It's about, we've got to support the LGBTQ community. We have to support all of these other things that some of these things, not all, but some of these things are just simply not biblical. But here's the thing. They come under the guise of social justice. And we've mixed that with doing good deeds for God. And here's what's going to happen. I'll just say this. Supporting the LGBTQ community. And I don't mean supporting them in the sense that they're people and that we should love them. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about specifically supporting the lifestyle and saying that lifestyle is sanctioned by God and it's condoned by God. That's what I'm saying. That's what social justice is in the world. Right? Somebody would say, well, you're not being equitable if you don't support the LGBTQ community. But when God talks about doing good or doing good deeds, it's all based on and bathed in the scriptures. So again, the good deeds that you're doing, it could be social justice sometimes, but if you're going to use that to talk about what Christians should be doing, you're going to run into a problem, because today's umbrella of social justice means everything. It means you condone transgenderism. It means that you condone kids changing their sex at young ages, saying that they're a girl, they want to be a boy. They're a boy, they want to be a girl at 6, 7 years old. That's social justice, right? It's saying that you agree with some of the things that are just simply not right in culture. And so we have to make a distinction between what social justice is and good deeds are via scripture. And so I think it's very important that we understand the difference. So sanctification, yes, it causes us to, it results in good works. Now, I will also say, as much as good works as we do, good works cannot save us. I don't know. I know there's a lot of people who grew up in religions who believe that somehow they can just outwork their sin. If they do enough good works, they'll get into heaven. There is nowhere in scripture that teaches that. Okay, so if you've been taught that, I humbly tell you, it's just simply wrong. It's wrong, because the scriptures, the Bible says that Jesus is the only way. He says no one comes to the Father except through him, Jesus. That's why he died on the cross. If you could get to heaven on your good works, we wouldn't need Jesus. There's no amount of good works that you can ever do that will ever earn you a spot in heaven. It is only the shed blood of Jesus Christ that will earn you your spot in heaven. You can't earn it. It's the blood of Jesus that will get you that spot in heaven. And so that's crazy important. If you've got questions about that, and you might have grown up in another faith that put a big emphasis on works, here's the thing. Because you are saved, you will do good work. That's a result of being a Christian and being saved and having the Holy Spirit in your heart. Yes, that will result in good works, but it's not the other way around. It's not that if I do good works, I'll be saved. No, it's because I'm saved that produces good works. And that's what I'm saying. The sanctification, if you are going through this process, you are going to do good works. Your idea of giving somebody $5 on the side of the road that has a homeless sign when you're unsaved is different than it is when you're saved. And you say, well, Kevin, I don't understand. How is that so different? It's different because the reason why you're doing it, you have a greater reason. You have a greater calling. You know, when you're not saved and you do that, you're just doing it. It makes you feel good. And you should, saved or unsaved, we should feed the homeless. We should take care of widows and orphans and all the things. We should do that. But again, you realize when you're saved that when you do that or not do that, that's not going to affect your salvation. But and also, as a Christian, when we give to the homeless, we give to the needy, all of that, we have a greater calling. Not only do we give them things that will actually nourish their bodies here, but we also give them something that will nourish their soul. Because at the end of the day, it is better for you to die and go to heaven with a hungry stomach than it is for you to have the best steaks in the world, to have the best mashed potatoes and whatever you love to eat, shrimp, lobster, whatever, and go to hell with a full belly. So our desire for doing good, it changes when we go through this process of sanctification. Man. So good. Sanctification, here's another point. Sanctification looks like Jesus. This one's a huge one, guys. Sanctification looks like Jesus. One of the reasons why so many people don't want to be Christians, because when they hear that word Christian, Some people, they just turn their ears off because what their idea of a Christian is whatever their experience has been. So if their dad was a Christian, quote unquote Christian, and he came home and he yelled at you and he cussed you out, or he was molesting the kids, or he was doing whatever, that's their experience of what a Christian is. If a person belonged to a church where the pastor was abusive, whether it be verbally or whether it be spiritually, some kind of way spiritually abusive, if the deacon was messing around with women in the congregation or whatever the case may be, if a person has lived through that, that's their idea of what Christianity is. If you grew up in a very strict home where you couldn't do anything, you couldn't go anywhere, it was all, everything was about rules, rules, rules. There was no love. There was no forgiveness. There was no mercy or grace. It was just rules, rules, rules. And God is this big guy in the sky, and he's going to come, and he's just waiting for you to do something wrong so he can pounce on you and be angry. If that's been your experience, a lot of times that's what you think Christianity is. If you're watching TV and there are a bunch of people on the side of the road yelling and screaming and raiding women who are going into abortion clinics and telling them they're going to hell and all of this kind of stuff. And I think it makes me think about, I can't remember the guy's name at the very moment. It's like on the tip of my tongue. But that guy that was in Kansas, that preacher, and I know you guys are probably screaming at the radio at me right now. Going, it's, you know, I can't remember the guy's name. But anyways, he was in Kansas and he had you can't even call it a ministry. They were just some hateful groups of people, right? I think his website was like God Hates Fags or something like that. Awful. One, you should be using that word, period. You should not be using that word. It's just not a good word. And it's a derogatory word to talk about people in the homosexual lifestyle. You should not use that word. But listen, here's the thing. They would say, thank God for dead soldiers. They would say things like, because there's abortions in America and all of these type of things, which we are unabashedly pro-life on this show. But one thing we're not going to do is say things like, thank God for dead soldiers. And, you know, I hope you burn in hell and all of these other crazy things. But this is what this guy was saying. This is what this church was all about. It was about hate. None of that was of God. But people looking at that, that's what Christianity looked like to them. That's their experience. When soldiers were being buried and they were having funerals, these clowns would come out and they would stand on either side of the funeral procession. I mean, and they would yell, and they have all of these signs that said, you know, thank God your soldier's dead and all. I mean, that kind of stuff is unconscionable, right? And so remember, when we say sanctification looks like Jesus, what did Jesus look like, right? Now, Jesus was, he was both lion and he was also lamb. He was about strength and he was about truth and he was about helping people to understand who he was. But he also did it with gentleness. He did it with respect. He did it with mercy and love. Everything that he did it out of a heart of love. And so sanctification causes us to look and act more like Jesus. One of the reasons why people don't want to be Christians is because they don't like what they see. They see they're depressed, but they see us depressed. Why would you want to be a Christian? What's the difference? They look at us and they go, you guys are fighting. You guys have 50 different denominations because you guys can't figure out who's right. You can't get together for a service. There's within probably a 20-mile radius, there's 30 churches all saying something different, all with a different denomination, all thinking that they're going to go out and do something great. And it's like, why can't some of you just get together and get together for one cause and do some great things in the community? And I'm not saying this to beat up on Christians, guys, but sanctification changes that. It causes us to be more like Christ. And as the world sees Christ, that is what's going to attract. Think about it. Think about all the people who followed Jesus when he was teaching. Jesus was not teaching all flowery things. He was not teaching all roses and candy and rainbows and unicorns. Jesus was teaching some hard things, but yet so many people followed him. Why? Because they could see that he was genuine. They could see that what he was saying was true. They saw the miracles. They saw God on display. And I submit to you, Christian, that if we can just get to that point, more people would be attracted to Christianity. People are not going to be attracted to Christianity because we're Republicans or we're Democrats or we're Tea Party people or whatever the case may be. That's not going to get people to come into the kingdom. Nobody cares about your political party. And don't get nervous. You guys know where we stand, and you know that we've talked on this show about how we should vote and different things like that. And we always say we should vote biblically. I'm not going to tell you what party to vote for, but I am going to tell you what both parties stand for. I'm going to tell you that you should vote based on your biblical values. But there are people who are Republicans before they are Christian. There are people who are Democrats before they are Christian. There are people who are black before they are Christian. There are people who are white before they are Christian. It's that kind of thing that distorts what Christianity is, and then nobody wants it. But true sanctification strips away all of that extra baggage. And what you see is pure Christ, Jesus. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved politically. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get on the school board. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But the Jesus ministry was not focused on politics. Jesus ministry was being focused on who he was and what he was supposed to do and his mandate that he had while he was here. And I believe that's the way it should be for us as well. I believe that we should begin to live just like Christ. The more we do, you wonder why there's a church on every other corner and the world is the way it is? It's because we're not as effective as we should be. There is no way with the amount of churches that we have and amount of pastors that are passionate about changing their communities and being there for their communities and changing the world that we are not having more of an effect on the world. And no, it's not because everybody just wants evil. And no, it's not just because everybody wants debauchery and everybody want. No, if you really looked at statistics and you realize you really understood, most people don't want what we see today. Most people, and I'll give you an example. Let's just talk about the movies for a second. What are some of the most top grossing films? Look it up. Do your research. Some of the top grossing films are films that are not rated R. It is films that are rated G, PG, and some that are rated PG-13, right? People are not wanting filth. The media will make you think that's what they want. The media will make you think that everyone in the world is anti-Christian and wants to kill babies and wants to live in an alternative lifestyle. And all, they'll make you think that's the majority. I submit to you, that's not the majority. And I submit to you, if we started acting more like Christ, more people would come to faith. But the only way that that's going to happen, guys, is if we surrender to the process of sanctification in our lives. We've got to do it. We don't have any other choice. Because as you can see, as we go through this series, look, you're not going to be able to do it without the process of sanctification. It's just not going to happen. I'm not sure where that, what, I don't know what was going on there, but I don't know why I sounded like that, but you know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. We wouldn't have such a problem navigating the culture the way we do if we would just ask ourselves, because remember, sanctification causes us to look more like Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, in all these situations, what would Jesus do? We wouldn't have such a problem navigating culture if we would just ask, what would Jesus do? See, here's the thing. We turned that into a bracelet and then forgot to live out the answer to that question. Everybody, remember that? I think it was like in the 90s or something. Everybody had a what would Jesus do bracelet. Here's the problem. Or here's a question you should ask yourself. How many of us actually did what Jesus would do in most situations of our lives? I don't say in every situation because we're human and that just, you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen. But how many of us really, in the situations that we're in, we go, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Somebody, and I'm guilty of this, guys. I am not saying this from a ivory tower, but think about it. When somebody attacks us politically on Facebook or IG or Twitter or whatever the case may be, think about it. How do we lash back at that person? Do we even think about what Jesus would do? And I would venture to say that some of us, we actually lash back in a horrible way, thinking that that's what Jesus would actually do. And I submit to you that no, right? And this is coming from a guy who, I am very strong in what I believe. I am very strong in my stance about culture and what I feel like God wants in this culture. And there are times that I've been in the way of the things that I'm saying right now. There are times that the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You know what? I should have had a soft answer. But I was so wound up in my own thoughts and feelings and my zealousness. I had a lot of zeal, but not a lot of wisdom, not a lot of knowledge. Sanctification looks like Jesus. Listen to this scripture. Therefore, be imitators of God. Imitate. You know what imitation is? You imitate somebody. When you are an impersonator or an imitator of somebody, you do what they do. You act just like them. One of my favorite things. So I love stand-up comedy. I don't know if you know that about me, but I love stand-up comedy. And so I watch it from time to time. There's so much stand-up comedy out there that's really, really raunchy, and I don't watch that stuff. Not because I'm better than anybody that does. It's just that that's not good for my soul, so I don't watch it. But I will say this. There's some good stuff out there. And there's a comedian that I follow that I really like, and he is all about impersonations. Oh, my goodness. And I feel like if you can do impersonations as well as he can and others that I've seen, like that is like the tip of the iceberg for comedy. Don't get me wrong. I love a good monologue. I love a good shtick. I love it all. Right. But man, when you can impersonate people, you know, he can impersonate a good George Bush, Donald Trump. He can do John Madden. He does Charles Barkley. I mean, it's so good. Like he's just so, 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 so good. And I just enjoy it. It makes me just chuckle just thinking about it right here on the air. Like he's funny. It's a funny guy. Right. But this is what the scripture is saying. It's saying, listen, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? He's saying, be an imitator of Christ, right? Now, I'm looking up this scripture really quick because, yeah. So it's Ephesians 5:1. I put that in my notes, but I somehow when I was shifting my notes around, it got somewhere. Anyways, it's a whole thing, behind the scenes thing that you don't care about. But here's the thing. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. Be like God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Only as I follow Christ. Because see, here's the thing. There are times that we're following people, and I think this is what happens a lot in Christian circles. We follow people because we like certain people and all of that, and we follow them, and then sometimes they go off the deep end or they go to the right or to the left, and then we're continuing to follow them, and the scripture says we should only be following God or godly people. So Paul said, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. Listen to this scripture, Ephesians 4:20-24. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, listen, this is where you're like God again. You're mirroring God. Listen to this. Which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Oh, I love that so much. Love that so much. Guys, if you want people to be attracted to you, we all want people to be attracted to us, don't we? All right. And I'm not talking about in that way. I know what you're thinking out there. But if we want people to be attracted to the lifestyle that we have, we have to look like God. Because if we look like ourselves, guys, we're going to look just like everybody else. And they don't want another them. They want something greater. They want something better. Remember that. When you are in the world and you're out there and you're conversating with people and collaborating with people at work, or you meet people in the marketplace, wherever you go, they're not looking for another them. They're looking for something that they don't have. That's a lot of times why we connect with other people, because we're searching, we're looking for something that we don't have. We love, again, I mean, think about even in relationships, right? Opposites attract. Somebody is really outgoing, they're attracted to the nice, shy person. Because there's something that they don't have. Or a lot of times people are attracted to, they're the nice, shy person, but they're super attracted to this really outgoing, boisterous, fun-loving person. Why? Because it's something that they don't have and they see something that they like. That's exactly how it should be for Christians and non-Christians. The sanctification causes us to have that. It's attractive. You bet you never heard those two words together before, have you? Sanctification and attraction. Oh, it's a first. It debuted on this show. Usually when we talk about sanctification, we're like, hey, wear a turtleneck up your neck and a skirt so far down you can't even see your ankles. Because we don't want people to be attracted to you. But what I am telling you is that people will be attracted to you in your life when you are operating in sanctification. They'll be like, man, I don't understand about that person. My wife and I were watching a show. I don't know if you guys watched this show or not, but it's, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank. As soon as I went to go say the show's name, I'm drawing a blank. Does that ever happen to you guys? Oh my goodness. Oh man, The Amazing Race. That's what it is. The Amazing Race. We love that show. And so we watched that show, and there was a couple on the last season that we watched, and my wife was just sitting there, and she goes, babe, she goes, like, because they were just the cutest couple, right? They're young and just
fun loving, and you could tell they loved each other very much, and just, I don't know, it was just, it, they were cute, you know. And I, and she looked and she's like, babe, you know what they have right there, like what you're seeing, and she's like, I know they're probably, they may not be Christians and they may not, you know, all of that, but like, that's attractive to me. Like, I want that. And she's like, when I think about the joy of the Lord and I think about that kind of thing, she goes, what I'm seeing on that screen right now, that's the closest thing that I can think of what of the joy of the Lord would look like in somebody's life. Now, think about how powerful that is. Think about how crazy that is. There are two people on the screen. And I mean, it's, I don't know, 10 or 12 episodes. So we're seeing them through all kinds of, and if you've ever watched The Amazing Race, I mean, they're doing all kinds of things. It's stressful. They're sometimes walking on a tightrope, suspended in the air, a ridiculous amount of feet in the air over a lake or over a waterfall or whatever the case may be. They're scared out of their wits, right? But the way they were acting and the way that they were responding to each other and the way they were just enjoying life was so powerful that my wife looks at me and goes, I want that. Guys, we qualify those statements by saying, you know what? That's temporary. What they had, it was, there was no indication really that they were Christians, but you know what they had, I said to my wife, I said, honey, that's a very, there was a heavily edited show. They're not showing you all the things. They're not showing you when they're yelling or screaming or whatever. And I know on that show, sometimes they do show that, but with this particular couple, I really do. I think they were just fun loving. They love life. They love each other. They were having fun. This was a dream for them to get on the show. And yeah, but I say that to say, that's exactly the way it should be for us as Christians. People should be attracted to our sanctification. Ugh, I love it. I love it. Don't you want to live this life, guys? Isn't this what you want? Don't you want people to go, man, I want my life, because listen, and it's not, oh, I want my life to look like that because they have a, you know, a fancy car, or I want my life to look like that because they have a diamond, this beautiful diamond ring, or they have this beautiful home or car. No. What if you didn't have any of that stuff, but you were the most loving, merciful, gracious, forgiving, fun-loving, life of the party person that person had ever met in their lives, right? Because I know people with a lot of money that are miserable. I know people who have lots of things, but money couldn't buy their happiness. Money couldn't buy their joy. Well, maybe money could buy a little bit of happiness. We know that. You could be happy. You get that new car, you get that new Corvette, or you get that BMW or Cadillac, or I don't know, name your luxury car or sports car. And for you, it might be a Bronco. It might be a Blazer. I don't know. And you get that temporary happiness, but I promise you, it fades. I just got my car in June. Of 2022, yes, I was trying to remember where what year we were in. But anyways, I got my car, and I'll never forget, I rolled off the lot. Actually, before I even rolled off the lot, I remember taking it to the back of the lot where I bought it. It was this huge motor mall, you know, kind of thing. And I would take it back there. I opened all the doors and I was taking pictures and doing all the things, and oh, I was just loving it. And I'm still kind of in a honeymoon stage of it. I did some modifications and you know all the things, right? We love it. But guess what? 5 years from now, if I still have the car, I don't know if I'll think that the same way. Will I really stand outside and be taking pictures of it 5 years later? But that's how happiness is. But joy doesn't have a limit. It doesn't have an expiration date. Listen, your sanctification in your life will cause people to be attracted to you. If people are not attracted to your life outside of what you have, I would check
where you are on the process of sanctification. Maybe, just maybe, you need to open yourself up to this life of being sanctified. And then people will be attracted to what you have and want what you have. Guys, I love you guys so, 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 so much. Don't forget, rate and review us on whatever app you're listening to us on. So if it's Apple or Spotify or Google Podcasts or all the rest of them, some of them don't let you rate us, but the ones that do, please do so. And you know what? Listen, if you don't listen on Apple, but you listen on a totally different one and they don't have a place where you review, why don't you hop over to Apple, find our podcast, just type in Thinking Out Loud with Kevin and Kyle or Thinking Out Loud Kevin Wilson. It'll come up because there's other Thinking Out Loud podcasts. So if you put just Thinking Out Loud in, a ton of stuff will come up. So Thinking Out Loud with Kevin and Kyle or Kevin Wilson, do that. And listen, go in there and rate us, review us. We love you guys. We love you for it. Thank you so much. We are blessed that you guys are listening. Listen to my donors. I want you to know that I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being faithful to your giving, because it is because of your giving that people are hearing this. And so if anybody wants to give to the show, text our line 248. I didn't even give out the text line yet, guys. 248-301-2010. That's our text line. Text us anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you've got questions and you want to ask us, you can also, and we're going to open this up brand new, first episode I'm saying this, you can also call that number, leave us a voicemail. If you want to say, hey, I appreciate the show, or if you have questions or you have topic suggestions that you want, thing, you can actually also call that number. Leave a voicemail. We will retrieve that voicemail and we will reach back out to you if that's something that you want us to do. If it's not, and you're just saying, hey, we love you guys, or hey, whatever the case may be, I've got a question or whatever, we'll make sure that we get that. And so God bless you guys. We love you. And we will see you next time.